Well, welcome to another podcast of American Christian. My name's Pete Cooper. I'm sitting here with the famous Dr. David Nichols.
I'm here too.
You're famous.
Am I famous?
I think you're famous.
Okay.
I do.
Whatever.
I do. Hallelujah. Hey, you know, if you've been following anything that we've been doing over the last couple of weeks, we are now changing direction, and we've moved into the Communist Manifesto, Doc.
I know.
This document printed in 1848. You know what else happened in 1848? Wisconsin became a state.
We're both Wisconsin boys.
We are.
So we know that from grade school.
Yeah.
They taught us about our state. I remember that. Man.
So the crazy thing about strange, weird is that this document written back in 1848 is still carrying weight in 2021 and is continuing on into 2022.
And that weight is bearing down on our nation, the United States of America, which was founded as a constitutional republic with free market capitalism as its economic reality. And now Marx is rearing his ugly head all over again.
Yeah, well, you know what? This is my thought just right when you said that, is the idea of being self-governed. Look, when you lose morality, which is what we are doing right now, the morality seems to be going by the wayside by looking at government and leaders and lying and cheating and stealing from the people. Once that starts to happen, I think communism could come in and do its thing.
Absolutely.
Well, and why
because
wouldn't it?
Because the end justifies the means. Well, you can do whatever you want to get to your goal of total domination of everything by the state.
Yeah. So
because the state becomes the new God. It is your supplier. Your daily bread comes from the state.
So stop going to church.
Whatever freedoms you have left there, which are few, they come from the state.
Ish. Yeah. Stop going to church. Stop praying. Don't read the word. And then let communism come in and have its way with its newfangled delivery. Because that's really what they're doing. They're just kind of creating a prettier picture if you go out to the World Economic Forum webpage, right? That's And you saw that. Did you see that on YouTube, that video?
No, it just came up as an ad on my phone.
It came up as an ad.
That's how they're doing it.
Isn't that awesome?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. And so, listener, when you begin becoming aware of this, and you're just kind of walking around in our culture, and you see this stuff, and then you start to say, hey, wait a minute, communism? I mean, that's, you know, Russia under Stalin. That's China under Mao.
Wow.
I mean, that's North Korea under
Pol Pot.
Under all those guys.
Yeah.
And Cuba under Castro. And what these defenders will say, well, you're just looking at it in its worst forms. Is socialism and I go, no, these are its logical conclusions. There's like 100 million people dead last century because they believe they occupy the moral high ground.
Yeah.
And I will tell you that we have only begun to see what is going to happen here with the abuse of government power, which is already way beyond our Constitution. It has been for a while now, and it's gotten much worse in the last year.
Yeah.
And the more power the government gets, the less liberty and rights you have. That's basically what it comes down to. So today we're going to talk about some more of these objectives here on the that are presented in this nice little video. So go ahead, Pete, and give us those.
So there were 15 basically that we had pulled from the video. Doc and I kind of scrubbed it forensically, and pulled forth these 15 little facts right here. So we're going to deal with just to recap: one, own nothing and be happy with it. Two,
they wish they were facts.
Oh, they wish they were facts.
Right.
Boy, the U.S. won't be the world's leading superpower. A handful of countries are going to dominate. Number four, you won't have to wait for an organ donor because they're going to print organs, which I just
Yeah, you just pull them up on the computer and you just click the mouse. And it runs to the
like
printer.
You're making a snowmobile part.
And then you kind of hold your body over there by the printer.
What?
And boom.
Oh, my word. And then eat less meat. It's really only a treat. It's not a staple. It's for the good of the environment. Look, everybody knows that cows fart a lot. And, you know, I'll tell you what smells worse than cows.
Pigs.
Yeah. Like, dude, I get it. You do not want a pig. You don't want a pig fart next to you. You just don't. Okay, so number seven is that, Doc, 1 billion people are going to be displaced by climate change.
That's truly horrifying, Pete.
Polluters will have to pay a carbon dioxide tax, like when they have children, or you'll get a credit if you get sterilized. Didn't we just read that?
We just did.
Like, what is that? And number 10 is that the global price on carbon would increase to help make to take fossil fuels out of the picture and to bring on wind-generated solar power, wind and solar power. Is that the only two?
Yep. Well, I'll tell you what.
I've been trying to get rid of the nuclear power for a while,
or
a long time.
I just built a new garage at my place last summer.
Yeah.
And I was informed that my garage.
Yeah.
Paid for by my money.
Yeah.
Had to have a 40-amp circuit in it in case I ever got an electric car. And I told the electrician the day, you don't want to know what I told him, but
you were
basically
kind.
I'll summarize.
You don't know what I was thinking.
It ain't gonna happen over my dead body. He said, no, that's the regulation, and so it's gotta be 40 amps.
Wow, that's right.
So
really
I have 40
something.
Amps in my garage, man. I can run anything in there.
Wow. Well, so today we're obviously looking at this this new superpower. It's not even new. It's been around for so long. Maybe some of you remember Captain Planet back on the Nickelodeon channel, you know, when they were out trying to save the whales and dolphins. And, you know, understand, listener, we're not here to say that we need to be irresponsible. We are to have dominion over the earth. And that means that there is a responsibility to it. But
right. And if we chuckle a little bit and laugh, it's because of the absurdity of the proposals. It's not that we want to injure these people by our comments or, you know, just be flippant about what they believe, because some of them really sincerely believe this.
Well, and
stuff.
It's very serious terminology that is being turned out by corporations and accreditations.
And our children are being brainwashed with it in school.
Right.
Have been for a while.
So kind of today, what the link is this, if you're paying attention or taking notes. Climate change as a religion is really the long arm of Marxism.
Yeah.
That's kind of kind of the way that we put it. I think, right. How does this guy, so this guy
maybe,
writes.
Maybe we should link backwards that way. Yeah, I think that's good, Pete. So how do you link this together? I mean, what does climate change have to do with Marxism?
Yeah, it is. Seems like a strange
that
catch, doesn't
like
it?
Seems like a stretch. Well, we've got it right here for you if we can find it.
Man alive. We've
here
been,
it is. Here
yeah,
it is.
I was right. I was telling Doc, last night, as we started to move through some of this stuff, trying to do our research, you know, it's like I just started feeling sick. I was just like, my attitude, my countenance started to change as we start to read through some of this stuff, because it's very prevalent. I mean, this isn't like stuff that's sitting off on the fringe somewhere, Doc.
Yeah.
This is very real.
Right. It's very real in our society right now. And so this is, we're going to be referring to this quite a bit now in this podcast. This is an article called Environmentalism as Religion. Comes from a website called thenewatlantis.com, if you want to look it up yourself. And so we're kind of going to jump in part way here to give you this link between this and Marxism. Here's what is said by the 60s radical Murray Bookchin, is quoted here, says, "The real cancer that afflicts the planet is capitalism and hierarchy." Well, where did we hear that before? That's the whole thing that the Communist Manifesto is warring against.
Right.
Against capitalism.
Yeah.
That is, that you can go out and make a profit, and you can use, remember, the congealed substance of human labor. That's capital. That's money. Okay? And then you can manipulate money around. You can invest it. You can put it here, put it there, and make profit.
Yeah. Buy
and
stuff.
So terrible to the communist mindset, because
they want it.
They do.
You can say what you want.
So the real cancer that afflicts the planet is capitalism and hierarchy. I don't think we can count on prayers, rituals, and good vibes to remove this cancer. I think we have to fight it actively and with all the power we have. And that's the other thing the Communist Manifesto calls for, revolution for the overthrow of the existing structures so that we don't have to be ruled by this evil capitalism, where people are free to succeed, where people are free to prosper. And in this nation, the United States of America, whatever color they are, whatever religion they are, whatever racial background they are, they can do this freely. And they have.
Wow, that was good. You just threw that, Doc.
I just threw that
I'm just
in.
Saying, like, that's what makes you famous. Like, you could just string stuff like that. Like,
okay. Oh, all right, so that's the link, in case you thought we were just making this up. Okay. This is an arm, it is a function of worldwide communism.
This is carbon Calvinism.
Carbon Calvinism is this section of the article is what this guy calls. And I'm telling, I don't know the name of this author, but he's brilliant. But... so the next thing then is that we told you we would show you how this is a religion. And please, when you hear that, you go, oh, yeah, I know, you're just making fun of it. You're just kind of making light of it. It's a religion. No, the people that believe it say it's a religion.
Yeah. You can look in the...
they practice it as a religion.
Go to encyclopedia.com. Mm-hmm. And type in ecology and religion. Tell me what you find. Go ahead.
Ooh.
Start reading the pretty words.
But wait till after the podcast.
Oh, yeah, don't do it right now.
Yeah, right,
yeah.
Right.
Just like,
okay,
write a note.
So here it is. Here it is from this from the New Atlantis. Okay. Quoting Freeman Dyson, who's a... He says he's a brilliant and contrarian octogenarian physicist. That means he's over 80. okay, here's what he says. Environmentalism is a worldwide secular religion, quote unquote, that has replaced socialism as the leading secular religion. So socialism is simply communism light. Okay, get that into your head, listener.
Communism light.
Communism light.
Socialism.
Socialism, right. They're the same thing, really. As the leading secular, it has replaced socialism as the leading secular religion. This religion holds, quote, that we are stewards of the earth, that despoiling the planet with waste products of our luxurious living is a sin, and that the path of righteousness is to live as frugally as possible. The ethics of this new religion are being taught to children in kindergartens, schools, and colleges all over the world. And the ethics of environmentalism are fundamentally sound. Scientists and economists can agree with Buddhist monks and Christian activists that ruthless destruction of natural habitats is evil, and careful preservation of birds and butterflies is good.
Okay, hold it right there.
Okay.
You see how they're ripping off God here?
Yeah.
They're grabbing all of his terminology. Sin, right?
Right?
Evil, righteousness, paths of righteousness.
Right.
Look, the whole thing... Okay, I'm going to blow a gasket.
Okay.
Go ahead.
Okay. We're going to let Pete just kind of sizzle over here for a minute or two. He'll be right back. All right. Okay. All right. The worldwide community of environmentalists, most of whom are not scientists, this community holds the moral high ground and is guiding human societies toward a hopeful future. Therefore, environmentalism is a religion of hope and respect for nature, and it's here to stay.
There's another word.
It's a religion we can all share, whether or not we believe global warming is harmful, which we do not believe it is harmful. But anyway. All right. So there you go. So two things established here as we start this discussion
all
today.
All right.
Number one.
Yeah.
This is a direct extension of the Communist Manifesto, socialism/communism. Number two, it has, in the process of becoming that, it has become a religion.
Wowee.
So, this leads to, you know, decisions that have to be made by Christians. Do you have to become a climate change devotee? And participate fully in the religion to be a person who is concerned about the earth, a person who doesn't want the earth polluted, person who wants to take properly care of your garbage and put it in the can instead of out on the street.
Oh.
You know, and Pete and I were talking about this before the podcast here. We're often told how wonderful these other religions of the world are in their approach to nature and ecology and everything, and we'd like to take them on a trip to India sometime, where the majority religion is Hindu and the greater minority religion is Muslim. The third minority is Christians, okay? And in that nation, we would invite you to walk around on the streets and sidewalks of any village in the whole nation and tell us what you see.
Yeah.
Dirt, filth, garbage, sewage running in the streets, sewage running in the rivers. They are open conduits of human waste heading down for the ocean.
Yeah.
I've seen it many times. Pete's seen it a couple of times.
Yeah, mention the emissions.
Oh, my.
You want to talk about emissions?
Yeah.
In the scooters and the motorcycles and the two cycles
belching
and the four cycles.
Diesel smoke and two-stroke smoke and every other kind of smoke.
Yeah.
Okay, yeah. And so...
If you want to clean something up, go over there. There's a lot to clean.
China.
You could have your heart's content doing recycling over, pick up, like you said, any town. But like, I want you to think about what a town looks like, a town, where there's a million people that don't throw their trash into a one place. It's on the side of the road.
It's everywhere. It's in the fields. It's on the roads. And...
I think people think we're making this up.
Be a little gross. When you drive around, people are pooping and peeing right on the side of the road. And you can watch them do it if you wish.
And you can smell it.
So we say all of that.
Yeah, sorry.
To say there's a problem here bigger than what's going on in the United States. And this is largely being ignored by these religionists. Because if you presented them with this is what they would say. Well, those poor people over there are being oppressed by your capitalism, and they have no means of fighting for carbon being eliminated and for climate, the way that humans are changing the climate. They can't do it, so you have to do it. So we have to convert you to our religion. But this isn't a conversion like old conversions of the past, as we read in the article here. Because you can be a Christian and be a great climatologist. You can be a Buddhist. You can be a Muslim. Yeah, anybody can come, and you can be this too.
That's what the encyclopedia was saying.
Now let's see if we really might want to do that. And let's start here with one of the facets of religion. Is that they have holy men who give oracles from God and so forth. So in Islam, you have Muhammad, who crawled in the cave and got the revelations, all that, and all that. And so you have the, he brought over time, the Quran came forth. You have Christians, you got your Bible, you got your church worship services, you got Jews, they got their synagogues, they got their Moses and all that. Buddhists, you know, whatever you have, you got these holy men, Buddhist priests who do the stuff. And well, in climatology, you have Al Gore. He's the guy. And I just have to read this for you out of the article because this is brilliant. I couldn't have said this better.
Okay. Well, wait. Just so you guys know, Doc was on this 2 years ago, and he was talking about the recycling thing, and that it's almost like it's a religion. Remember when you were starting to ponder again? You have a great mind, Doc. But anyway, so after 2 years, he finds some guy that's written something that sounds more enlightening than what you were talking about 2 years ago.
Chief among its holy men is Al Gore, who, according to his supporters, was crucified in the 2000 election.
Oh, my word.
Then rose from the political dead and ascended to heaven twice.
Oh, my.
Not only as a Nobel, capital N, remember, Nobel Peace Prize, not only as a Nobel deity, but an Academy Awards angel.
Oh.
That's Al Gore.
Yeah, on his...
He speaks of, quote, the creation
The
care.
Inconvenient Truth of 2006.
And he just ran out of time this year, because this is 15 years.
This is 15 years, and what did he say?
He said, it's all being fulfilled.
Earth will be destroyed in 15 years.
Oh, but he showed... he just has a new video now. I just saw it. He showed when the hurricane hit the East Coast over there, water came up to the buildings.
Yeah. It did.
It kind of receded back.
It did recede back.
And here's the thing I can't figure out with these guys, especially Obama. Mm. Now, I don't know that Al Gore is doing this, but Obama is. He's got a lot of money right now.
Mm.
And he's a climate change true believer. But he's buying beachfront property on the East Coast. I don't get that.
It's a good deal. That's why he's doing it.
Well, maybe.
It's a good deal. Why wouldn't you?
Maybe all the climate change people are bailing from their beachfront property. Is that true? It's driving down the price?
It probably is. And they don't know that Obama's behind it. They just think that it's the real deal.
He literally is buying property.
How brilliant.
If you believe that the oceans are going to rise and inundate all the beaches, why would you be buying property?
Well, yeah, but he's not buying it as Barack Obama. It's probably some third-party thing called,
Fairday
Realty.
He must think he can make a profit on it. Oh, wait a minute. That's capitalism.
Oh, he knows he's going to make a profit. Look, this is for you guys. This isn't for them.
Oh, yeah. Okay. I get it. All right.
Oh, my
word. Wow.
We're losing it.
So here's another one, okay?
Okay.
In the religion of environmentalism, or more specifically, climate change, selling indulgences, remember that?
Yeah,
see,
that was
this,
so, this was the new one for you.
This got Luther lit up, man.
Okay.
I mean,
right?
Luther,
yeah,
his trip down there, and they're peddling indulgences, and they're raising the money to build the big cathedral of St. Peter's there and all that.
What indulgences were like you could pay a guy out of hell. You could get him out of purgatory. Get him out of purgatory.
This was the saying, when the coin in the coffer rings, the soul from purgatory springs.
Nice. Yeah. Kind of catchy.
Okay, so you can buy your dead loved ones out of purgatory. You can buy off 1,000 years, 10,000 years in purgatory.
Word.
I mean, for just a I mean, for probably like $50. You know, I mean, what a deal!
Well, back then, $50 might have been a lot.
Well, I mean equivalent. They had these coins they used, but anyway, selling indulgences is out of fashion these days. But you can now assuage your guilt by buying carbon offsets.
Ooh, do tell.
So they had indulgences. Now we have carbon offsets.
Tax write-offs.
Right.
Yeah.
Fire and brimstone, too, are much in vogue, accompanied by an unmistakable whiff of authoritarianism. This is a quote. A professor writing in the Medical Journal of Australia calls on the Australian government to impose a carbon charge of $5,000 on every birth. Every child that is born is $5,000 into the carbon fund. And an annual carbon fee of $800 per child every year. You're not saving for their college. You're buying them out of purgatory, brother. No,
that's because kids fart.
Oh. I know. I have four, and they fart a lot.
There's a large object.
Oh, man. So this was written by Braden Allenby.
Yeah, but what's the credit, though?
The carbon credit comes if you get sterilized.
Yeah. You know, there's a lot of talk right now, too, about sterilization.
Boy, there sure is.
And this is really starting to get where we start looking at it. This is serious. These are serious writings. These aren't some guy just making fun of. This guy was a doctor. The Medical Journal of Australia.
Dude.
Right?
Yeah.
I mean, these are supposed to be our greatest minds.
Okay, now you might be led to think that this religion of climate change and of ecology is very kind and welcoming, and it does seem to be that in many presentations of it. But let me read this to you. The chairman of the Intergovernmental Panel on Climate Change, this is the group that has the whole Paris deal and all that, that our late great
the COP26.
President Trump got us out of.
Yeah.
Yeah. The chairman of that group states that those who suggest that climate change is not a catastrophic challenge are no different than Hitler.
Oh.
Wow.
How can they just toss that around?
And then your Boston Globe columnist Ellen Goodman writes that, quote, global warming deniers are now on a par with Holocaust deniers.
Mm.
It's kind of us and them, it sounds like. I thought it was we're all in this together. We welcome all you Christians and you Buddhists and you Muslims. Just all come together.
We are the world.
No, what it is a dangerous new, quote, carbon fundamentalism.
Ooh.
Oh, yeah. Wow. It's us and them. You could see the Greenpeacers as crusaders. There's a parallel between the ecological movement and the medieval church. They are crusaders. The industrial people are the infidels. They must be put to the edge of the spear. And also this religion has a number of excommunicated heretics.
Ooh.
Yeah, they were once true believers and now they've left the faith.
Man, I've never believed it.
I know, I haven't either.
I've been throwing my tin cans in the trash can for... Matter of fact,
Freeman Dyson was a true believer, and he's now been excommunicated as a heretic.
Ooh.
Yeah. He himself says, we are lucky we can be heretics today without any danger of being burned at stake. Well, stick around, Dyson. We haven't seen the end of this movie.
Mm.
We've only seen the introduction.
Well, and he goes on to say that they need new ones to carry the torch. Well, it's your kids that are going to carry the torch on this.
That's
the whole
right.
Greenpeace thing, the whole
right.
Recycling thing. Yeah.
Increasingly, it seems that facts aren't necessary because the tenets of environmentalism are all about belief.
Mm.
Environmentalism has become, and this is Michael Crichton, he's another excommunicated heretic. Environmentalism has become totally divorced from science. It's about whether you are going to be a sinner or saved.
See, they keep ripping off God.
Whether you are going to be one of the people on the side of salvation
there
or on
is.
The side of doom. Are you going to be one of us or one of them? Are you going to be Hitler? Are you going to be with the Holocaust deniers? That's all you people that deny human-caused global warming and climate change.
Mm.
Wow. Well, What do you think?
Well,
okay, he goes on, in the article here, he quotes a guy named Ray Evans, another one of these excommunicated heretics. He says, there is a religious need here for these climate change devotees. They need to believe in sin. So that means sin is equal to pollution. You used to think sin was, you know, the lists in the Bible, fornication, homosexuality, or thievery, or drunkenness,
lying,
robbery. You got all your lists in there. That used to be sin, but no more. You don't worry about that stuff because real sin is pollution. They need to believe in salvation. Well, sustainable development is salvation. There's a key theological word for this whole movement, sustainability.
Yeah.
You see it everywhere. You see it everywhere.
It's losing its weight with me.
But if you're helping it be sustainable, meaning you're shedding off fossil fuels, which are also evil.
Wow.
You're shedding off all these ways of the old, and you're ushering in the ways of the new sustainability. You're planting trees. You're putting up windmills that are killing birds by the thousand. No, sorry, I threw that in there. No, they are.
Yeah.
It's a problem.
Tell me you don't eat fast food either, right?
Ooh.
Yeah, and tell me you're riding your bike to work. You can't ride your bike to work out here. It'd take you 4 hours to get some.
Man, you'd be in shape.
You'd be a hot, sweaty mess with no energy left in you.
They need to believe in a mankind that needs redemption. Isn't this interesting? See, that part of it is true. They do need to believe in sin. They do need to believe in salvation. They do need to believe that there is a redemption, but where are they going to get it?
Well, it's talking
to
points.
Pastor Karl.
Pastor Karl Marx.
Yeah, Marx. He will tell them.
You know what I mean? So it's like, well, are you saved? Yeah.
Of course.
I'm abstaining.
Are you saving others? Yes, I'm spreading the word. I'm preaching the gospel.
Oh, my. That's what Jesus said. There would be other gospels.
Ooh.
This might be one of them.
It might be.
I mean, I think.
So
maybe.
You get redemption by stopping using carbon fuels like coal and oil and gasoline and all that stuff.
Planes,
that's how you get redemption.
Yeah, trains, planes, and automobiles.
So it fulfills a religious need and a political need, which is why they hold on to it so tenaciously, despite all the evidence that the whole thing is nonsense. That's what this Crichton guy said.
Well,
but he's an excommunicated heretic. He was once a true believer. Wow.
Yeah.
But the real kicker here, listener, we saved this for the last because this is the best.
Okay. Yeah.
Every religion and religious structure and order has to have a deity.
Yeah, right.
Right?
Right.
Okay, so the Muslims have Allah, the Buddhists have whatever they have.
And Shiva.
In Hindus, Buddha. Man, they have 33 million deities, 330 million.
Yeah.
And now, actually, they have more. That's another whole story. And Christians have Jesus and the Father and the Holy Spirit. Jews have Jehovah, the Old Testament. Okay, so you got to have a deity if you're going to have a religion.
Right.
Well, is this a religion? There's a guy named James Lovelock who had a flash of insight back in the 1960s. And it was that the earth is not just water and rocks and dirt and snow and ice and all this stuff. The earth is a living organism all of its on its own. And as he pondered this, he came up with this idea. He came up with a name for this vast planetary organism, named it for the Greek goddess who personified the earth. Her name is Gaia. And he described her, quote-unquote, as, quote-unquote, alive. So the deity is Gaia. And this seemingly obscure suggestion caught fire with the ecological community, and this writing says, Lovelock not only gave the planet a persona, he created one for himself, becoming, quote, the closest thing we have to an Old Testament prophet, although his deity is not Jehovah, but Gaia, quote, unquote. That's what was stated in the Sunday Times newspaper. So, he recently, more recently, published a book that is entitled The Vanishing Face of Gaia, A Final Warning. It becomes quite apocalyptic.
Oh, my.
If we do not save Gaia.
Right.
But this is a god. This god doesn't save you. You save her.
Oh, Doc.
Yeah.
That's kind of cute.
But it gives you kind of a purpose for life.
Yeah, it's like getting one of them little small little toy dogs you can carry around in your purse. It's not animal rescue, it's deity rescue.
Okay, but here's the thing though.
Yeah.
In terms of saving Gaia, do you view carbon Calvinism as a net plus or a net minus? And the answer from Lovelock here is a net minus. You often hear environmentalists saying that one should do this or the other thing, like not fly, that is on commercial airplanes.
Sure. Yeah.
Because not doing it can save the planet. Because I'm telling you, man, them things belch out carbon. They really put it out. Now, here's what he says, though. It's sheer hubris to imagine we can save Gaia. It's quite beyond our capacity. What we have to do is save ourselves. That's really important. Gaia would like it.
Wow. She's dead.
Yeah.
She's dead. Wow,
well,
Doc.
So here we are.
Yeah.
We've kind of put out before you here and tried to expose first the link between Marxism and all this stuff, and now what it is actually saying today. Really, for your information, don't be sucked into this. This is not compatible with Christianity. Yeah. Jesus says there's one way to the Father, that's through me.
Come on.
Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life.
Yeah.
No man comes to the Father but by me.
Yeah.
And, of course, Christians have been dying for centuries for believing that and not giving in on it.
Right.
And that's the truth of the Word of God. So we want to pray for you in conclusion today of our session, and really hold you up to the Lord, because this is reality in the world that we're living in, and we believe that the power of God and the love of God is going to sustain you. Just as we've said here at the end of the podcast, there are actually people who are now excommunicated heretics out of the religion of climatology. There is hope. People can be saved out of this delusion.
Right.
And are writing. So let's pray. Father, I thank you today that the truth of your word remains.
Yes.
Even when mankind rises up in absolute arrogance and says, we will save ourselves, we declare that there is no sacrifice of yourself that can save yourself. There is one sacrifice that can save you, and that is the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ.
Thank you, Jesus.
The God-man who was put on the cross, shed his blood, gave his life, and then sealed it by raising from the dead on the third day.
Thank you, Lord.
He is the one, and we are looking to him. And Father, I ask that that truth would preserve and keep your people in this time. And that out of this, we would begin to reach out with care and compassion, and yet with truth, and sometimes even with confrontation, to people who are believing the lie. And Lord, that they can come to Jesus and not save themselves, Lord, but be saved by the only one who can save them. Help us, Lord. We cry out to you for that mercy. In Jesus' name.